In attendance today, we have Representative Herman, Representative Jenkins, Representative Pierce, Representative Thompson, Representative Miller, Representative Wallace, and myself, Representative Schultz. The first thing that we're going to do, we have three items that we want to... Your letter was circulated. I had a copy of this. Hang on, what did I do with it? A letter was circulated to you requesting that you give back to the committee any information or any objections that you may have on the confirmation. I have received comments back from a couple of the representatives stating that they did not have any objections, and I have a file of those letters. However, some people didn't comment back, which I assumed was an okay to go ahead with them. So, as a courtesy, we didn't, I don't know whether we had anything there to sign up for people in the public here, but if there's anyone that would like to testify at this time on any of the appointments, I would appreciate it if they would just step forth. Is there anyone here? Raise your hand. If not, for the record, yes, Representative Cato has joined us. Thank you. So, if there are no objections, I would entertain a motion. First of all, in your packet on the appointments, you will notice that there, and you will be receiving, this is the sheet that is passed around. And you can make recommendations. If you recommend to confirm, you sign over here with other recommendations, do not confirm or whatever. And this report in no way, shape, or form locks you into any kind of a vote on the floor, a yay or nay. So if there are no objections to the appointments, then I will circulate these folders, and you can go ahead and sign as you see fit, and I'll just start them down as we're going here. I'll just move them over here and let Representative Herman begin. We don't need a motion to pass the Milwaukee rule. So, would like to know at this time whether or not, how many people do we have signed up for House Bill 44? To testify. We have three people. Okay. We have three people to testify. What is the committee's wishes on which bill we should hear first? We have a committee substitute drafted for House Bill 21, which addressed some of the concerns. Yes,
Mr. Chairman, how many people are signed up to address House Bill 21?
Okay, we have, we didn't put out a sign-out sheet because we had testimony last week, or Monday.
If it pleases the Chair, why don't we deal with House Bill 21 since it looks fairly simple and we've already discussed it, and I don't know how in detail the 44 may be. If we may not have time to get to 21, if we can deal with 21 first, and it's fairly straightforward.
Okay, if there's no, no objections to hearing House Bill 21, we'll go ahead and discuss that one. So, House Bill 21 is the one that we'll be discussing now with my Representative Gall. And the changes are, if you'll open up your packet, the changes are marked in blue. And the changes right after AS 3808030, and who complies with the provisions of, and it goes on down to line 1. Or that's 11, I guess. Line 11. Mine's chunked off. Then at the bottom of the page on, what is that, 27?
Yes.
Right, line 27, the change there. That That's the only changes that were made to the Representative Milton.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 21 resources in lieu of the original bill.
Right. Are there any objections to adopting the committee substitute? Okay. So we officially now have the committee substitute before us. There were some questions last time on the constitutionality of this legislation that was addressed. We got an Attorney General's opinion on that and simply said that it has not been contested, so therefore it's constitutional. And the changes that have been made on this piece of legislation have been with the sponsor's approval. Any discussion on this legislation? If not, I would like to...
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move the committee substitute for House Bill 21 resources out of committee between the working day.
Mr. Chairman, we just got a call from the sponsor. I need to let the committee know what he asked.
Know what?
Know what he just asked about the bill. He's on a technical point.
So. That he has a problem?
Yes.
House Bill 21 will be set aside until Representative Gall gets his questions addressed.
It's a rather easy technical solution. It still could be acted on today and corrected and legal.
Right.
He isn't but here, but if you would like, I could give the message.
Certainly.
That he...
Well, I talked to him earlier. We were ready to pass this bill out of committee. There were no problems to start with. If there's a problem now, we're going to set it aside.
Okay.
And if it can be addressed, it'll be addressed. If it can't, so be it. We'll bring it up at another time. House Bill number 44 is what we have before us. Yes. And this is the bill, an act establishing an additional state land as a marine parks unit in the state park system, introduced by M.M. Miller.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Miller.
Thank you very much for hearing this legislation this early in the session. I appreciate it a great deal. If you don't mind, I'll keep my coffee here, too.
Certainly.
I haven't quite completed my morning fix yet. You wouldn't want me to go to sleep here and embarrass us all on television. Mr. Chairman, I and members of the committee, a lot of you are aware that in the last legislature, we established some marine parks in the Prince William Sound area. Primarily, I think, at the request of people who lived in that area, and I think it was a very popular acquisition. At that time, we also put in just a couple of marine parks in southeast Alaska, but really nothing approaching the need, nothing approaching the desires of the people of southeast Alaska. This legislation would rectify that omission and would establish a series of marine parks throughout southeast Alaska. I think we've all been given maps which indicate where the various marine parks are that are being suggested in this legislation. As you can see, it begins to establish a pretty nice pattern wherein, for instance, boating recreationists and commercial fishermen, for instance, could find some sanctuary and perhaps a place to go ashore and relax at night or whatever. Along the way, I think probably a lot of us that are interested in this would like to see eventually a few more parks added, so that just as you can travel the highways up in your district, Mr. Chairman, and camp out, you know, at a decent state park facility overnight as you're driving along in your motorhome or your camper or your tent operation, you could do the same thing afloat in southeast Alaska. The bill has received, I think, almost near unanimous approval. We do have some suggestions from change for a couple of agencies, and I'll get into those slightly in a few moments. But I just want to say that as far as any residents or anything like that, I have yet to receive my first adverse comment. And to the contrary, I've received just a whole lot of very, very favorable comment on this. I think throughout the panhandle, people, you know, approve of this concept and of these specific locations. I have had a chance to talk to the people over in the Division of Parks. Overall, they are in favor of this legislation and in favor of these designations. They do have a couple of suggestions for change. One, for instance, down in Ketchikan, although I lived down there for 6 years, I'm not really totally up to date on the situation up there, and perhaps I have no problem with the change. They'll come before you and talk to you about it in this one area, and that's the Trader's Cove area. I don't think I have necessarily a quarrel with their determination in that area. I guess although I have a great deal of respect for the department and for the division and the people in it, I guess we have to agree to disagree on one designation, and that is on the Thunder Bay designation. Let me give you a little history of this whole bill. The bill really started, in a sense, with Thunder Bay. Some residents who have residential plots over there and have cabins on the site came to me and with the recommendation that we establish a marine park at Thunder Bay. Well, of course, I was familiar with the marine park concept from having worked for passage of the bill last year up in Prince William Sound and the very limited parks we got here in Southeastern. And so what they proposed just made so much sense it hurt. So I readily agreed to sponsor a bill designating their marine park concept. Then it was suggested by other people that as long as we were doing Thunder Bay, why not Tautu Harbor? Because that is an area like Thunder Bay, for that matter, that Juneau recreationists use a lot in their marine recreation. And that made a lot of sense, too. And then the people who were interested in this whole subject area heard that I was interested in the subject, and these additional sites then became recommended to me, and after finding that they had, each of them had strong local support in each community, I readily agreed to put it all in one bill. But in any case, the whole thing grew out of Thunder Bay, and upon review by the department, as I say, you'll hear from them later, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, but they are endorsing almost the entire concept and almost the entire locations. But the department, I think, has put a lot of time and effort and probably money into subdividing some of the state land that remains unhomesteaded, or whatever we call the designation, down there. And they would like to continue with their plans to subdivide additional sites at Thunder Bay. And instead of designating this area right here in red, which they've already sort of divvied up for home sites and disposal, they would suggest that we use an even larger area over here across the bay, a very nice area, a very scenic area, a very useful area for this purpose. The only problem is I can sympathize entirely with their viewpoint, and I can respect their viewpoint. I just happen to disagree with it real loudly. Because I think that if we already have a whole lot of home sites on this site over here, we do have 65 acres that are not divided yet. I think all the more reason, if we have a whole lot of home sites already over there, all the more reason why we need a little bit of open space amongst those 65 acres. So my flat recommendation to you is that you incorporate both of these into the Thunder Bay recommendation. If this land over here is available and it's certainly desirable, I don't question that a bit. We're still not talking, you all from the interior, you get to talk about thousands of acres sometimes down here. We're talking about 65 in the one case and a slightly larger area in the case of the acreage that's painted orange. But I really, really feel that the people of Thunder Bay made a good recommendation, a recommendation that's in the public interest, and I think that the area that they're trying to protect and preserve is indeed worthy of protecting and preserving for all the people, not just the relatively small number that would be benefited if you divide that up and sell it off. That, of course, the whole concept of parks is that you can do two things with property. You can divide it up, and a few people get a wonderful deal. I mean, you know, there's no question about it. Or you can have a selected number of appropriate parks scattered, you know, here and there around the state, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, all the people of Alaska and all the people who come to visit Alaska get to use those parks. And I think that the land of the residents of Thunder Bay, the people who are on the ground, who are most concerned with it, who have the most to gain or lose, I think their voice should be heard, and I think their recommendations should be followed. I'm going to pass around, Mr. Chairman, a little brochure that they made up for me when they first proposed this, to give you some idea of what they've got in mind.
Representative Miller, where did most of the people that live in Thunder Bay in that area, how did they acquire their land?
I don't know. I presume there are some state divisions. A lot of it probably, perhaps old mining claims. There's some cannery sites over there that very recently, well, that's a good point too, that's very recently been acquired. I understand from the cannery site owners that land is going to be subdivided. So it's not like we were cutting off all opportunity for people to, you know, to buy home sites in this location. Free enterprise is going to provide a subdivided opportunity for people if they want to buy. And so, as I say, some of it's old cannery sites, perhaps some of it's old mineral sites that are no longer mineral, but in private hands. And you could ask DNR people when they testify. It may be that there's been some subdivisions over there of the type that they contemplate right now, and perhaps that's how some of those people got their land. I'm just not at all sure. But I want to emphasize one other thing, too, because several legislators have asked me about this. We're only talking about state land. There is not a penny to be spent in this for acquiring any land. I don't know. Perhaps we've done that in the past, or perhaps we'll have to do that in the future, you know, someplace in Alaska. But in this legislation right now, we're only talking about state-owned land, and so we're not taking anything away from private hands.
Representative Miller.
Representative Miller, while you're here on the stand, I'll go ahead and ask you about the letter from the United States Department of Agriculture and Forest Service. There are three areas, Traders Cove, Promised Lake, and Taku Harbor, which they would like to see deleted from the bill. And one of them, Taku Harbor, they said that it looked like there's federal lands involved that you fit under the description in the bill. I'll just ask you for comment on those three sites. And
Excuse me, I just now gave my copy of that letter to somebody. Thank you. I just, the letter is dated January 30th, and I just saw it. I don't think we're talking about any federal land, unless it's land. Again, the DNR people can give us the benefits of them. Unless it's land that's already designated for transfer to the state, I think that's all we're talking about. We don't have it. You know, if we wanted to, we couldn't designate federal land as a state park. So we're talking either about land that's already in state ownership or land that I think is slated for state ownership. The Trader's Cove question that the Forest Service questions is one of the lands that the DNR and parks people had a question about too. And I say I'm just not all that familiar with it, and I'm prepared to accept their evaluation that perhaps that site should not be that it should be taken out of the bill or modified. I mean, if the residents can figure out a way to modify it, that would be very acceptable too. I'm presuming that we're going to have some time after hearing testimony to work on the bill. But I think I probably don't have any problem with deleting the Traders Cove thing. The Taku Harbor situation, we'll just have to look at it. It's not my intention to designate any use of federal land because we don't have the right to. We'll just have to see if this is land that's been tentatively approved for federal or what. As I mentioned, the letter is a surprise to me. I had no indication that they had any questions at all. I should incidentally mention that they are supportive of the concept, and so perhaps there's a difference of opinion on one or two bills, and we'll have to work with everybody, go step by step down there and make some adjustments. But I'm encouraged that the Forest Service is in agreement with the concept.
I just, a follow-up question. Here, it's all in a different line, though. How much land in Southeastern is already parked? I mean, can you give a percentage of...
I can't give you a percentage, but I can tell you, there's only one real state park in Southeast Alaska right now, and that's Chilkat State Park up at Haines. That's the only real park as such. We've got, as I mentioned, a couple of small marine parks. And I think at the Ketchikan, the Park Service administers the Totem Bight State Historical Park, which is not a camping type, but recreational. It's a wonderful thing. It's one of the nicest collections of totem poles, you know, in Alaska.
And it must be federal land, then, is that?
No, it's state. We either acquired it at statehood, or I'm not sure why, but anyway, at Ketchikan we do have this Totem Bight State Park, State Historical Park.
But in discussing with DNR as to why there are the land disposals in the various areas throughout the state and why there's less land disposed of in Southeastern, the DNR has told me time and time again it's because there's no state land available in Southeastern for disposal.
Very, very little. Under the terms of the Statehood Act, a small amount was available for selection under certain conditions that put forth in the Statehood Act from the Forest Service, and I presume that's how we got most of this land.
And as a result of this legislation, what little bit of land there is in Southeastern that's available to the people, that's also going to be taken away from them for future development or settlement.
We haven't gone through and selected every inch of state land and designated into parks. We've only asked for whatever the total is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 relatively small parks. I'm sure there's lots of other state land, you know, left. These are very nice sites and very, very prime recreational sites. That's why they were chosen. They're sites that people have historically identified as usable for recreating purposes. And I suppose some of us are interested to make sure that those sites remain available for everybody before we have new trespassing signs put up on them.
Representative Cato?
Yes. Yes, I would like to address the question, Mr. Miller, as far as the bill is concerned. One of the questions when we did the marine parks up in Prince William Sound was that whether or not there would be any actual campsites built, or if this was just merely designation, and that there would not be garbage situations and things like that, but it would attract bears, but it would merely be for offshore anchoring and that sort of thing. Does that pertain to your bill also?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Cato, whatever development takes place is always going to have to come before the legislature for funding. I see a need for more than just designating the land, although if we didn't have any money available for any improvements, this bill would still be, I think, 100% warranted, because at least it would save the land for all the people as opposed to making it available for subdivision for only very few of the people. So I guess you can approach it any way you want to. I see very, very modest improvements. I see the need over the years, spread out over a number of years, for some float facilities at some of these locations. I see the need for some shore, perhaps picnic or sanitary facilities, perhaps after study of each location by the division. I don't see the need, or I wouldn't even want, lodges or you know, that sort of thing at these sites. Whatever, these are pretty pristine sites, and part of the aim is to keep it pretty close to that. I don't agree that necessarily that a properly executed garbage dump attracts the bears. I think, as a matter of fact, if you don't have that, you have a real bear problem, perhaps, because people, the nearest garbage dump is just, you know, over behind that tree that they think nobody's going to look behind, and then you've got a real problem. So, and perhaps that's sort of what you've got right now to a limited degree in some of these locations, because you know, there's nobody doing anything. But whatever we do, will, you know, should be done after study and being very sensitive to the area. And I don't see very much development. I don't see these as little Yellowstones at all. I see them as very modest, in their man-made improvements.
Yeah. Just to carry through on that. In other words, in the bill itself, right at the present time, there isn't any designated improvements or anything like that, but you do foresee some of those occurring ultimately.
Ultimately, I do, yes. But on a modest and very sensitive basis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Miller, I apologize for not having had the opportunity to get together with you in your office on this prior to this meeting, but I've been out of town the last several days attending the Holiday Commission meeting in Vancouver, and I haven't had that opportunity. I want to express, however, a deep and abiding concern that I have in a general sense about locking up more state lands in any kind of a park. From my perspective, this whole state is locked up in somebody's park, either a state park or a federal park. One of my concerns that was expressed very strongly by my constituents during my campaign was that two things. One, that this state should make a more concerted effort to get more land to private individuals. And secondly, that we've gone 25 years now of statehood and still have not resolved the questions between the state and the federal government over land that was promised us as part of our statehood. I think 25 years is long enough. And based on those feelings, I'm going to vote against this proposal, because I think it's time that we started doing something very specific to resolve those questions. And until we have them resolved, I can't support ad hocking, and that's my term. I apologize if it seems inappropriate to you, but ad hocking questions of land and its use until we resolve the larger questions. I think that this state needs to press the issue of its statehood lands with the federal government and get that resolved. And I think in turn that local municipalities need to press the issue with the state and get those questions resolved before we continue the practice of locking up small segments here and there in another fashion by creating more state parks. So I don't have problems with this particular proposal. Again, I regret the necessity of feeling this way, but as a freshman legislator, I think that it's incumbent on those of us who are new to this to express ourselves on those general questions which are a larger concern. And I, for one, am going to press very strongly for that kind of activity to take place. I've already expressed those concerns with DNR, and I will continue to do so until I see some movement on those questions. As I said, as far as the federal question is concerned, relative to the state, I think the 25 years is long enough. It's time we got these questions resolved.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to that. First of all, this doesn't have anything to do with statehood entitlements and resolving that problem. I think, as a matter of fact, perhaps not as fast as we would like it, but I think resolution is occurring. I think the resolution started occurring once, whether we approved of it or did not approve of it, the National Interest Lands Bill passed the Congress. That was the last big obstacle toward resolving that. And we may or may not all agree on the timetable, but I think resolution is moving on that, on the issue of state versus the state entitlement, 140 acres. Whether it's moving or not, though, has absolutely nothing to do with this legislation. This is land that already belongs to the state of Alaska. It's up to the state of Alaska, not the feds. It's up to the state of Alaska to determine, and the local residents, whether they want this land. In the last legislature, residents from your area indicated that they wanted to have a state park in your area. And acceding to the wishes of those people, a whole lot of us supported the local residents of up there and established the state park, and I presume it's a very popular one. The people of Southeast Alaska, everyone that I've talked to, wants some state land down here designated as state parks. Now, if you want to, you can call that locking up. I call it opening up. I don't know how you can lock up a piece of land any more effectively than to take a piece of property that right now thousands of people have access to and restrict it to four or five people or 15 or 20 people who can put up no trespassing signs, who can say, this is private land, keep off. Now, obviously, we all, treasure private land. Me and the bank own the land that I live in up here behind the cemetery. But on the other hand, you really want, if you want to talk about lockup, if you lock up everything in private ownership, then where do you go, for a picnic in the afternoon? Where do you go when you're sailing or cruising, or you're a commercial fisherman and you want to, pull up on shore and go ashore a little bit and have a little time of recreation, whether you're a recreational boater or whether you're a commercial boater? I think these terms like lockup had a lot of appeal during the almost frenzied debate over the D2 legislation, but hopefully that that frenzied debate is now over, and I think we should open up these lands to everybody. Select lands, not just all of the land on, below mean high tide that washes up on the shores of Southeast Alaska. No, selected lands, selected by the people who live in those areas, subscribe to those areas. For instance, in Ketchikan, we even have, I understand, a resolution from the local government supporting one of the sites down there. This is not the land issue on which to, grab our lance and go, tilting off against the federal government windmill. This has nothing to do with the federal government, and I think we misplace our priorities and even our emotions when we get this mixed up with them.
Representative Miller, I read through the information yesterday, I assume that, from my understanding, that, native allotments will be included in the park or close to the park, but not,
This has nothing to do with native allotments either.
Yeah, I was wondering what kind of, you said you've been talking to private landowners and stuff. I was wondering if they had their input in there and if they had any concerns on this park.
The landowners I've talked to the most are the people at Thunder Bay, who are unanimous, I think, with perhaps one exception. I have not talked to the individual, but I understand there's one individual that either owns or has an interest in one portion of the land. And so that, I will say, perhaps with one exception. But everybody else over at Thunder Bay, for instance, not only is acceptable to this, but they want it passionately. They want to preserve some open space in their little community over there, and they see this as a way of doing it. So elsewhere, most of the people I've talked to have been recreationists and people like that who are equally supportive.
Representative Miller, just my comment, oftentimes in the interior, also due to land disposals, the making of parks or the support that we received for the Tanana Valley Forest last year were for the wrong reasons. The people of the district didn't support the Tanana Valley Forest because they were all that excited about the trees and the forest, and they were excited about it because it stopped land disposal. But then it also, at the same time, the people that were very supportive of it were people that had land within the forest that were going to be the exclusive landholders in that area. Mm-hmm. So, it's often supported for the wrong reasons. If the people of Thunder Bay actually supported it for that reason, that's one thing. But I believe that it comes down to selfishness. I've got mine now. I want to lock it up.
There again, I don't think I would use the word selfishness in conjunction with those people. I think what I would say for the people who are over there is that they don't want what they have invested in to be destroyed by a complete urbanization of the area. And I don't think they probably are proposing this only to stop the disposal, although that's certainly a very strong concern on their part. But I think they recognize that it's good public policy over and above the disposal area, issue. I think they probably are very concerned about the disposal. I think they don't want, the urbanization of what's right now a rural marine area. They don't want, just a proliferation of cabins all along the beach there. And, I can sympathize with that viewpoint, but I think over and above that viewpoint, they recognize, and those of us that support this recognize, that there's a good, strong public policy for setting aside land right now for a limited number of these parks. If you don't, you're going to get into the same box that a lot of states have gotten into down below, and that is you're going to have to come back sometime later, when incidentally the dollars are going to be even harder to come by, and buy back a lot of land. And if you know, if we think it's a problem right now, where do we have to actually put out money for this land and reclaim it for recreation purposes? And in a lot of instances, that's exactly what has happened, where we've allowed too much disposal to take place, in particularly in the lower 48 states.
We have any additional questions from Representative North? Do you have other people who testify? Thank you. Oh, Representative Jenkins.
Representative Miller, for some reason or other, Thunder Bay seems to be the focus here. And I won't get involved in philosophy of disposal of lands, but I don't see, I see some of the concerns of the people who are already there. And I hope that I voice some of the concerns of some of the rest of us who do not own a piece of property in that location at this time. There are two things involved here. First, this is on Northern Admiralty Island, and that was an island of pretty high profile in the earlier days. And I would suspect that there really are not many options for state selections on that whole island. And secondly, then, what to do with those state selections after they are once actually selected in our patent area. And I would urge, as I think you would, caution to disposal of these lands for whatever purpose. And I presume that the State Division of Parks is going to suggest that these sites are indeed a part of an overall plan which you could reasonably, for those of us who have a luxury of owning something that might go across water, might be able to sail from south part of southeastern Alaska up through southeastern Alaska and have some safe harbors. And I can understand that concept. I just am extremely concerned about the type of problem that indeed Thunder Bay presents to me, and that is that I don't know if we're not piecemealing at this point, and I question the timing of the disposal of state lands for whatever purpose.
Representative Taylor.
I don't know if this is a philosophical statement or not, but you know what I'm going to say. It would appear to me that the people of Thunder Bay want a marine park. But actually what they're doing is inviting other people to come to enjoy their area. And I don't see this as a lockup or anything like that. Surely if they wanted to lock it up, they would not even suggest such a proposal as to have a marine park in their area.
Thank you for that compliment. I agree with that, and I think they're wanting to preserve some open space, they're wanting to prohibit a proliferation of cabins and sites along the way, but they are not, they're not putting up a no trespassing sign. To the contrary, you know, they're saying, you know, come and enjoy with us this treasure, you know, let's do it right, let's do it as a park, and I, you know, I can only applaud their efforts. That's why I recommend that we continue the suggested plan that they themselves set in motion that resulted in this whole bill, but also I would strongly recommend that we also incorporate the additional land that the department has identified across the bay, because it's good land too for this very purpose and not excessive.
Representative Sun.
Chairman, I apologize.
And I would like to point out that for the record that Representative Sun finally.
I would, I apologize for being a little late, Mr. Chairman, but I'm probably the only person at this table that has been in all 13 of these bays in Southeast Alaska, and actually five or seven of them are in my district. And just to express a general support for this issue, I personally have pretty much a support for it. I have some feelers going out into my communities and that to make sure that there are the access problems and some of the other issues that maybe some people have identified that haven't come up here that are coming in. But overall, most of the comments coming back are fairly favorable. My only concern is that if we have some technical problems of how it's sited or what's being planned, or if the borough zoning, planning and zoning people in the area have thought of some other thing used for this land, I would like to have their comments before we did anything on it. But and generally, for the representative who wants to cruise southeast, there are more safe anchorages than are indicated on this map. But these are all very nice and very commonly visited places right now. They're all quite highly used.
I guess my point is this: if I had to go back to my district and take a poll of the people that would like to see the land put in a state park, of course we've got lots of federal parks and lots of state parks. Of course, the people of Northway, Kevin, Tanacross, Chicken, Eagle, Tope, Montasca, et cetera, would all like to be surrounded by state land, so there would be no more land disposal. So it would more or less stop the growth in that area, and they would have a little more control over their own destiny, over their own economic future, et cetera. So these are things, I know there's a land disposal being proposed for homesteading up in the 40 mile, which will virtually destroy that country. I mean, it's a mining area up around Chicken. So, there's 20 people live in Chicken. Residents. So it's going to destroy their lifestyle if this land is supposed to take place. A park is one way. Putting that into a state park would be one way to stop that particular thing. So it would be popular for the people that live there. So I'm wondering if we couldn't just go to almost any community in the state of Alaska that has or wants to preserve something in their area and come up with the same rationale, the same justification for inclusion into a state park.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure this hasn't been brought up, but there isn't very much state land in Southeast Alaska. I think we have about 16 million acres in Southeast, and the state is only allowed to select about 400,000 of that as state land. So it's pretty scarce, few and far between places where state land even exists.
But that's another point of contention. In that respect, it puts the land disposals in the rest of the state of Alaska, they hit the other areas of Alaska because there's not land available in Southeastern, yet we're taking more land in Southeastern and there's not much available and locking it up and putting it into a state park. And as they hold another land disposal in another area, then those people will move in, they will develop their community, and then they will come in and say, hey, this is a beautiful spot. We'd like to make a state park out of it. You just keep food for thought.
Very small, just enough to accommodate really the land surrounding the park area.
Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see on the map that we were given 64 federal marine recreation sites and another
12 state sites that are already developed, are those all overutilized?
Mr. Chairman, those federal developed recreational sites, I believe, are just cabins on the beach. If I recall, if I can look at your map, yeah. I think that's what most of that is. The Forest Service put a lot of cabins into lakes that you could fly in, and then they started a saltwater program, putting cabins into saltwater facilities, and they put an anchor mooring buoy outside so you wouldn't have to trust your own anchor when you showed up, but you can bang off of theirs all night. So that's
what. My question still stands. Are they all overutilized?
They're all pretty well utilized. I wouldn't say they're overutilized, but you do have to make a reservation to get into those cabins, and I don't know, you pay $5 a night, I think, to use it.
Any additional questions of Representative Miller? If not, home.
Well, I just wanted to again thank the committee and
sure.
Thank the chairman for hearing this. And I would be very anxious to work with, perhaps if you wanted to appoint a subcommittee to iron out some of these differences, to work with you. And for that matter, even the Forest Service, as I say, they have raised a question that I wasn't even aware of. But,
right. That may be a good point, and it's well taken. I would invite any members on this committee that are interested in possibly serving on a subcommittee for this one to submit that name.
I think we could get a proposal back to you in pretty fast order.
Sure, I understand. That might be a good idea. So.
Chairman, since the majority of them are in my district, I'll volunteer myself to that. And also for coming late.
We'll make a determination on the subcommittee.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'd like to have Neil Johansson at the State Parks come up and his testimony. Neil, did you come in to testify on this particular piece of legislation? Come down from Anchorage, or were you here anyway?
Mr. Chairman, I was down here for a number of... There's two bills that are up Friday morning, public hearing in Haines tomorrow night. A little bit of time to try to persuade a few of your colleagues in various areas. Mr. Chairman, members of the House Resources Committee, good morning. I'm Neil Johansson, Director of State Parks for the Department of Natural Resources, and I would like to present the administration's position in regards to House Bill 44. The Department of Natural Resources spent considerable time examining Representative Miller's bill, and in particular studying the boundaries and the land status of the land and water that's contained in the proposed 12 units to be added to the state marine park system. And I would like to, for the record, recognize a lot of really good work by Paula Burgess and her staff of the Division of Land and Water Management. There was a considerable amount of effort that went into the examination of this bill last week. And we do have some changes that we would like to recommend. Those proposed changes on behalf of the administration were presented to the Resources Committee, I understand. We support, the administration basically supports 11 of the 12 units proposed for the Marine Park System in Representative Miller's bill. One of the areas we oppose, and that's the Traders Cove area, because there are simply too many problems and too many resource conflicts there to, I think, advance the proposal, including the fact that most of it's been clear-cut, although some would argue that a stump makes a pretty good picnic table. Nonetheless, there is a contract, a Forest Service contract, that goes until the year 2004 on that site, and we simply think that it would be inappropriate for the legislature to add that to the state marine park system. As was pointed out by Representative Miller, we also oppose the land at Funter Bay to be part of the Marine Park System. Two relatively small parcels of property are part of the of House Bill 44 in the Funter Bay area. One is some uplands that is mostly muskeg in back of some private property, and the other is a piece of state land between other private parcels. And we simply feel that there are too many conflicts associated with having two small parcels, which are essentially in a small private village type of environment. If we were to put mooring floats there as an example, I suspect that a lot of the residents would simply use them. To have the kind of immediate conflicts which often occur by putting the recreating public in the backyard or the front yard of private residences usually doesn't work out too well. It increases the management expenses, et cetera. We also have several boundary adjustments, the letter from the U.S. Forest Service was referenced. We have examined, as I pointed out, the land status. One of the areas that they oppose, Trader's Cove, we would recommend that be dropped. The other, Tom's Lake, they raised the issue of a forest development road, which they thought the Marine Park would be in conflict with. We have recommended a new legal description, which would not create that conflict. In the case of Taku Harbor, we have revised the legal description and presented it to you, hopefully to be handled as an amendment, which would exclude Forest Service land, again, referencing the Forest Service's letter about conflicts. We think that by going through the land status, we have presented a superior legal descriptions to avoid some of these problems. The marine parks that we would recommend be created, and the administration basically supports this bill, would total about 9,500 acres. And I believe that from the standpoint of the listening to the discussion here over the last several minutes, that some things perhaps could be introduced into the record here. Under Section 6A of the Statehood Act, the state has the right to select 400,000 acres of national forest in Maine. That isn't exclusively in southeast Alaska. That is the Chugach and the Tongass National Forest, the two national forests. Of the 400,000 acres that can be selected under 6A of the Statehood Act, the state has selected most of that property. Some of it is involved in a lawsuit between the state of Alaska and the Department of Agriculture, the oversight agency for the U.S. Forest Service, and that remains to be settled, and it has to do with properties that were selected that the Forest Service has refused to transfer to the state of Alaska. So we're looking at approximately 400,000 acres of land that can be selected from the two national forests. Somewhat arbitrarily, I would agree, about 10%, a relatively small percentage of the 400,000 acres have been planned for inclusion in the state marine park system. The approach really, I suspect that you can do a lot more planning than we have done, but in any case, there was a fair amount of planning that did go into the proposed marine park system for Alaska, and essentially it is an international connection. The state of Washington currently has 57 marine parks in the Gulf Islands and the San Juan Islands. In fact, there's one down near their capital city, near in Bud Inlet. And the province of British Columbia has 23 marine parks, which also stretch then up the British Columbia coast. And the basic concept that we have been pursuing here with the state of Washington and with the province of British Columbia is essentially to come up with a marine park system that would stretch from Olympia, Washington, all the way to almost to Seward, that would have relatively small, we're not talking about large acreage figures here as far as lockup, which would have relatively small parcels in the better little coves and bays and bights and beaches that people have a tendency to land their float planes or to anchor a boat or to kayak. Some of the better anadromous fish streams, mouths of anadromous fish streams, the better clam beds, et cetera, the places where people tend to recreate. But to tie this together with what, again, Washington State and British Columbia has done to essentially create an even, if at all possible, travel distance apart for the average boater. And again, without investing a lot of land, of the 400,000 acres, again, we're only looking at about 10% of it to hopefully go into the marine park system. To get an idea of sort of the geographical, sort of spatial relationship that's contained in House Bill 44, my staff put together a map, which is relatively small. Maybe I could just pass it around quickly so that an idea can be had as to the distance apart, et cetera. When Senate Bill 128 was passed and signed into law, which created the framework for the marine park system 2 years ago, that went through a lot of public scrutiny, went through a lot of agency scrutiny, a lot of citizen involvement, and we came up with a bill that certainly these are units of the state park system, but they're not what I would call parks with a capital P. Hunting, fishing, trapping, commercial fishing, the development for aquaculture, these areas are open to transportation corridors or roads for the purposes of reaching mining claims or other private properties. In fact, we just recently issued a permit to Prince William Sound Aquaculture to build a $10 million fish hatchery in one of the new marine parks up in Prince William Sound. I think lockup would be somewhat strong words in relationship to these areas. The The basic intent, again, is to choose those areas that the people use that are popular, that have been selected by the state, and to reserve them for everybody's use. And the sizes are relatively small, and in fact, they drop down to less than 70 acres in some cases here. I might also point out, and then maybe bring my comments to a conclusion here, Mr. Chairman, but Section 6A of the Statehood Act, which allows for the selection of the 400,000 acres from the National Forest Domain, essentially sketched out two reasons for those selections, for community expansion and for recreation. And so we feel that the allocation of 10%, which the administration does not feel is trying to circumvent or put the lid on multiple use of all of the state's lands, is certainly not a large figure. And remembering also that the Statehood Act said that these selections were for the purposes of community expansion, disposals, and recreation, I guess the administration would recommend, with the changes that we bring to the table, that the committee would indeed approve this measure.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if you could very briefly give me some appreciation for what steps the administration is taking to resolve questions such as you mentioned, that the U.S. Forest Service has refused to transfer land that was part of our state entitlement.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Thompson, of the 104 million acres that the state has the right, a little over 104 million acres that the state has the right to select, the state has working title to approximately 80 million acres of that. Of the 400,000 acres that the state has the right to select under 6A of the Statehood Act, I believe that the figure is around about 340,000 acres of the 400,000. As far as what the state is doing to try to resolve some of the lack of speed with which the federal government is transferring land, in the case of many of the selections in Prince William Sound and the Tongass National Forest down here in Southeast, the state is suing the Department of Agriculture for refusing to transfer some 57 of the parcels that had been selected. Oral arguments on that case were heard, I understand, in December, and the state attorney general is very confident that the state will win that case, therefore forcing the transfer of these properties that are currently being held up.
In the amount of time that the present administration has been in office, how much have those numbers changed? What is your success rate in freeing up that land from the federal government?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Thompson, you're talking about all state lands that have been selected, or?
I
don't have the information. It seems to me that around 3 million additional acres have been transferred to the state in the past 2 years. The state is aggressively pursuing properties, but there's a fair amount of resource assessment that occurs prior to our making selections, attempting to get the more resource-rich properties.
I wonder if you could give me your definition of aggressively pursuing.
Filing selections. We have been lobbying, actually on the federal side, because the properties have to be surveyed, lobbying an increased budget for the Bureau of Land Management to survey those properties and to transfer them to the state. Mr. Chairman, Representative Thompson, I apologize for not knowing more about the total situation of the state to state. I'm sure that I could probably get some answers to your questions, but I don't have any.
I apologize for you being in a comfortable position with having to deal with me, especially this morning when I have a fur under myself. But be that as it may, when Esther Winicky and the Fullhearts were in Kodiak, I did mention this to them, and I'll repeat again what I said earlier today. I tend to make an issue that I do not believe the administration is, quote, aggressively pursuing, unquote, the question of federal land transfer. Neither do I believe that this administration appreciates, if you use the phrase capital P relative to parks, I do not believe this administration appreciates capital L on land, and how much the people of this state want more of it made available for private individuals. And until I see some movement on those kinds of things, from the state to the federal government resolving those questions, then in turn from the state to the local level and in turn to private individuals, I'm going to be real ornery on the election. So that's about as upfront as I can be with you on the subject. But
again, I apologize to Representative Miller and the others who are sponsors of this bill for this happened to be the one that, that surfaced this issue to me. And I don't have any problems with the particular proposal in front of me, but to me, it is not good public policy to deal with these individual requests until the larger issues are resolved. And I repeat that as far as I'm concerned, 25 years is sufficient time to have resolved them. I would appreciate it if you would in turn communicate that to wherever it would do the most good. But my definition of aggressively pursuing and yours are apparently significantly different.
Anyone have any additional questions? Yes, Attorney General.
I may
just comment also that it doesn't look like we're going to have time for, we're going to try to get someone, another person up here to testify. However, we're going to reserve 5 minutes at 20 till to go back and address House Bill 21. So, go ahead.
I basically have two questions, political comments or whatever. Mr. Hansen, I'm always impressed with your presentation. I have two questions and thoughts. They are somewhat of a philosophical basis also. The marine park system, is my understanding, is the intention is to have a marine park system from Olympia, Washington to Seward, Alaska. Then it seems to me that the conformance of British Columbia and Washington, in other words, what they do there is what we should be doing here. I understand that they have, they build facilities within their marine parks. What I'm hearing this morning is, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we don't intend to do that as much as we should. What is your thoughts and why?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jenkins, I believe that there is a need for facilities within Alaska's marine parks. In fact, I feel rather strongly about it from the standpoint of mooring floats, public use cabins. Some of these areas receive a tremendous amount of use already and have not even simple restroom facilities, et cetera, fire circles. But at the same time, I guess I have to recognize the state's fiscal concerns about putting capital money into the marine park system versus the more heavily used units of the state park system that are on the road. As an example, in close to your district, Chugach State Park, if I were to have the choice between putting in mooring floats in the marine park in Prince William Sound versus additional trailheads or trail miles or campgrounds, et cetera, in Chugach State Park, I suspect I would have to recommend that that the money be invested in the road accessible, more heavily used unit of the state park system.
I would agree. I would also suggest that we should think of these things in total packages and realize there's going to be a fiscal impact. And when we bring in these, set aside the land for marine parks, we should have in mind a serious plan to develop them. The other is really a question about the 400,000 acres. You said that 340,000 acres is essentially under a working relationship with the state at this point. How much of those acres is actually been selected out of the Chugach National Forest? How much out of the Congress? What's your definition of working relationship? And what is the final intention of the remaining 60,000 acres? Have they been selected from the or not?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jenkins, the figures are rough. It seems to me of the 400,000 acres that can be selected, the majority of it, 280,000 comes to mind, is in Southeast Alaska, and the balance in the Prince William Sound Chugach area. My definition of working title would be tentative approval for patent, which enables the state to create second or third party interest, depending upon how you want to define them. The balance of acreage to be selected, which again I believe that it's around 40,000 acres, and I could be 10% off on the figure, it could change a lot. I believe that the state is still examining, again, the resource values and whatnot to come up with those selections.
Okay, I'll discuss it with Representative Kato because that is to be her district, but the first selection is under the two-day, it's something like 27,000 acres. And that seems to be extremely low. I'm surprised that 120,000 is doing the planting.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick comment about that. In 1977, the first major selection was made in the Forest Service Command, and that was about 275 or 280,000 acres. In 1982, approximately 65,000 additional acres were selected. And I think the state is getting close to making the final selection of land by the National Forest.
Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many of these 9,500 acres have been identified as being acres that we now would like to put out for private ownership?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pierce, of the 12 parcels that appear in House Bill 44, I believe all but two were selected for the purposes of state marine parks. Two were selected, I believe, with the intention of community expansion dash disposal. But the selections were not made with a lock-in on that being the ultimate purpose, that it would all be disposed of, or maybe a portion of it would be disposed of, a portion of it used for a fish hatchery, and a portion of it for a marine park. I believe the Thunder Bay, which is one of the more controversial ones, I consider to be somewhat controversial, was not selected for the purpose of the marine park.
I could follow up on that.
We have about a minute and a half. Representative Pierce, go ahead.
I'm trying not to put words in your mouth, but I wonder how you respond. If 10 of those areas have already been identified as being marine park areas, and knowing that we have revenue declines coming up, and you've already said that during this break, you would rather put facilities in the community park nearer the interior where they're totally discrimination in here, would you agree, or why would you not agree, that we might as well wait and actually put them again because you already said you can?
Mr. Chair, I believe that you probably did put a few words in my mouth there. I one of the stories that I occasionally tell, and I bear with me, when these are certainly not, I think, as Mr. Miller said, Representative Miller said, Yellowstone here. But when Yellowstone National Park was created by Congress in 1872, it was a very controversial issue because Congress thought, why should we create Yellowstone National Park? It's so far away from anybody, nobody would ever be able to get to it. I guess that we look at this as maybe just a little bit of vision for the future, that the department tries to pursue a balanced program of multiple use. Recreation is one element of multiple use. Somewhat arbitrarily, we think that about 10% of the total selection should be for recreation purposes. We feel that these areas, which are very popular with the public now, really should be, established as units of the state park system. One area here also that appears in Representative Miller's bill, the Higgins Beach area, Point Higgins area, which is on the road system in Ketchikan, is a road accessible, very popular recreation site that had been classified for public recreation, appears in their local plan proposed as a unit of the state park system. It's really kind of a mixture here. But there are, one of them doesn't even touch salt water.
Thank you, Mr. Johansson. We're going to have to move on. We're going to have to go to another bill. However, first of all, I would like to apologize to Scott Foster, Dale Anderson, and Jim. Is it Calvin?
It is Calvin.
Yes. Right. I apologize to you guys for not being able to get to the testimony, but we do have a floor session at 10 o'clock. However, we do have this bill scheduled again for Monday. And before we do assign a subcommittee to this legislation, I do want to have the opportunity of all the people that are from the public that are interested in testifying have the opportunity to give us some input on it. So if that's agreeable to you, Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, that's Monday at 8:30?
Monday at 8:30, yes. That's what we have it scheduled for again. So well, hopefully we'll get through the public testimony at that time. Bringing up House Bill 21 again, Representative Gall was in. It is a technical change, and it's on line 27, right at the end, and the Veterans Association had some problems with that. 24th, 1964, and November 7th, 1975, received an honorable discharge or a discharge under honorable conditions. They feel that that language has to be put in to clarify the, or entitle people that have honorable discharges to be eligible.
Does that satisfy their concerns?
Yes. So the only word.
Or should it say an honorable discharge?
Well, it says an honorable discharge. Right after the word received, right after the word received on line 27, it would say an honorable discharge or a, and then the rest of it remains the same, discharge under honorable conditions. Now, we have this, and this is this committee substitute that we have, of course, is already a final draft, and unless we hold it over for another meeting, we won't be able to change it at this point in time. However, we can pass this bill on to finance with a letter from the resource committee saying we want to see this change incorporated. Am I correct?
Technical change, yes.
A technical change, right.
Mr. Chairman, I so
yes. There is a motion before us at this time. Are there objections?
Yeah, I object if the person makes a question. There was some debate on the date August 4th, 1964. Was it August 4th, 1961? I see 64 is still in the bill.
It is. That was...
In checking with the Adjutant General's office, that date was verified.
64 is the correct date?
Right. There are, very shortly, Mr. Chairman, there are two dates that are going to probably be changed in a governor's bill coming down. They're still discussing how to establish those dates, but when that happens, hopefully the change will be made somewhere en route if there's an agreement reached. But for right now, this is the date that everyone's settled on.
That's the date we officially started killing ourselves.
And other people.
Our Jeff Senator voted against the Thompson resolution.
Representative Cato.
Well, merely that I move that we pass this on to finance. I'll make my, instead of say so, move on.
I'll remove my objection.
Okay. If we pass it on to finance with correction, technical correction.
With a letter of attachment with, addressing the technical. Okay. Are there any additional objections to this? If there are no additional objections, House Bill 21 is being passed on to the Finance Committee with individual recommendations. And the resource committee is adjourned.
Thank you, sir.